Hello, I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is Mr. Poor Peters, the first female Minister of Transport of the Republic of South Africa. To give you some background, Minister Peters served in the National Assembly between 1994 and 1997, serving in the Parliamentary Portfolio Committees of Home Affairs, Public Works, Social Services and Health. In 1997, she was redeployed to the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature, executing duties of Chief Whip till 1999. Minister Peters served as the Northern Cape MEC for Health from 1999 to 2004. She was appointed to serve as Premier of the Northern Cape from April 2004 to May 2009. To remind our listeners, the Northern Cape is South Africa's largest province, accounting for 30% of South Africa's landmass, before moving on to the higher echelons of government as Minister of Energy. In her position as Minister of Energy, she was widely respected in the African continent and globally as an esteemed leader in the energy sector, including being a member of the renowned UAE Zayed Future Energy Prize and being appointed as a member of the United Nations Secretary General's High-Level Panel on Sustainable Energy for All. She was also credited with leading the charge for the progressive introduction of renewable energy technologies into the South African energy mix, and has seen success such as the adoption of the country's first ever integrated resource plan for electricity. Minister Peters has headed the charge in the transformation of the liquid fuel sector and has been actively championing women's and previously disadvantaged groups' participation in the sector. And on July the 9th, 2013, Minister Peters was appointed as the first female Minister of Transport of the Republic of South Africa. Welcome to the show, Minister.
Thank you very much, Malka, for having me here.
It's such a pleasure. I'm so glad you've taken the time to join us.
Thank you very much.
Minister, please can you share with us how your new term in office is, and are there any specific milestones that you want to accomplish during this term? For instance, is greater representation of women part of your agenda and getting an increased number of women throughout the department structures?
Thank you very much for having me on this program. I really appreciate the opportunity to can share the plans that we have for the sector transport. I just want to indicate that it's actually disheartening for me that 21 years, because now we will be 21 years in our democracy, with a very progressive constitution that we have as a country, as well as a progressive leader, which is President Zuma, who appoints women in very key senior positions and including in government, we in the transport sector are not doing very well. I just want to give you an indication that transport is so male-dominated that as we speak, myself and the Deputy Minister are women, appointed by President Zuma and the African National Congress. But when you go down, there's only one CEO or the DCA of civil aviation. The rest of the senior executives of transport entities are male. And if anything, the transformation or gender transformation of the transport sector is very key. But also equally so, transformation broadly. I'm happy to indicate that towards the end of 2014, we launched what we call the BEE Charter Council of Transport. We have given the BEE Charter Council 2 years to do an audit of the transport broadly, the four modes and everything related to transport, the performance with regard to transformation. And we're talking broadly, not only related to economic empowerment. We also believe that with the audit must give us the challenges that are there, what we need to be able to do to make sure that we can realize transformation. What is it that we need to do from the skills development level, the different institutions and areas that we need to focus in? For example, if you have to take the aviation sector, we know that we're doing quite well in terms of gender representation and the representation of African and black people in general, in the especially the cabin crew sector. But when it comes to pilots and the other engineering sectors, we actually find that we've got a big challenge. We know the biggest challenge with regard to entry for aviation in terms of the pilots, it's the cost of the training. But we believe that the Charter Council should also help us to identify what is the weaknesses with the institutions and structures that we have. Like, for example, earlier on I was saying we've got a structure called the South African National Women in Transport. I haven't realized since my deployment to transport the impact of what we call SANWIT. Is SANWIT just putting together women who are in the transport sector? What is it that these women would want us to do to enable and facilitate their growth in terms of the economic participation? As we speak, we've got very few women who are in transportation, owning and driving their own companies, or alternatively being CEOs of some of the major companies, even in the private sector.
It's very challenging, and I read that, looking at Statistics South Africa, that only 18% of the 950,000 employees in the transportation sector are women. And on our program, we've been privileged to have some fairly significant ladies, and I recall two instances, one, for instance, being Mrs. Nora Fukuda, yes, of Buscor.
I was about to come and speak about her.
And she was fantastic, and one of the things that she said, when she started to introduce women to be bus drivers, she said no one got on the buses because they couldn't believe the buses could be driven by women. Mm. And they're on the aviation sector, where I understand that from a piloting point of view, that we've only got 9% of women pilots. But there we had Captain Jane Trimbeth, who flies Boeing 747s globally, and then First Officer Annabel Wundler, who used to fly former President Nelson Mandela during his tenure. So we have some exceptional women, but just not enough of them.
Not enough of the women. If we have to start on land transport, correctly so, we've got Nora Fukuda in Mpumalanga, who's actually doing quite well in terms of Busco, including the type of technologies that she deploys to make it possible that the buses are, or the means of transport is friendly for disabled, for women, for the aged, and in particular for pregnant women. So it means that if you bring women, you are actually also going to improve the type of service that we render, because women bring in a particular type of nurturing and sensitivity to certain aspects of life. Then the transport sector in itself is not friendly to women. We appreciate and we acknowledge that historically the transport sector has not been friendly in terms of the operations themselves. But we need to soften them up. We need to make it possible that there is consideration. And these are the things that we say we need to consider. Because once you address those things, you make the sector attractive. You are not only addressing the present challenges, you are also addressing for the future, because you need to make it possible that the young girls actually see this as an opportunity. But we're also saying, I feel that we have not done enough in terms of ownership in the transport sector. That is why the transport BEE Charter Council was important for me.
And looking at ownership from point of view of having more female CEOs running their own businesses as opposed to just being employees within an organization.
Exactly. I mean, if anything, we believe that if you bring women into especially the state-owned entities, they are going to also come in with a sensitivity of creating space for sisterhood, because they would know that when they are challenged with the environment in which they are operating. I was brought up, if I have to divert a little bit, by a woman. My grandmother, who used to say, what you do now, you must know that it is the building blocks for those who come after you. She used to say, if you look at me as your grandmother, you need to learn from me, but also to identify my weaknesses, so that by the time you get into the position that I am in, you would have said, I don't want what my grandmother used to do. I don't want what my one mother used to do. Therefore, it means that the next generation would even have a better life than I had as your grandmother, that your mother had, and yourself had. So it is important that we realize that we as the ministry, both women as a minister and deputy, we've got a responsibility to say we are the pioneers in the transport sector, but what is it that we're going to do to make it possible that those who come after us can be able to see that there has been women in this environment? The first thing we said, let's deal with a transformation. The deputy minister is chairing the transformation committee, but we know that the legislation is in place, the policies are there, the frameworks are there. What is it? And that is why I was talking about SANWIT. This is a structure of women who are in the transport sector. And people like Menora Fakude has indicated to me that she has not found value in SANWIT, which means that SANWIT cannot just be a coming together of women who are said to be in the transport sector. They should be able to say to us, what is it that you are doing for us so that we can grow? You know that it's difficult for women to have access to funding. You know that it is difficult for women to enter a particular space unless there is a decision that says this percentage must be women. And these are the things that we are looking into.
And that's why I was so glad when you spoke about 50%, because often, for instance, with South African women in construction, they talk about 30%. And I questioned that to say, well, why aren't we at 50% when we start to look at gender parity? Today, we're talking to Minister Dipuo Peters, South Africa's first female appointed Minister of Transport.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You were listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31 meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to Minister Dipuo Peters, South Africa's first female appointed Minister of Transport. So in terms of looking at opportunities of how to get more women into the transport sector, we need to make it more attractive. We need to have greater ownership, with women becoming more owners of their businesses, to utilize networks such as the South African Women in Transport Network more effectively.
And in the rail sector, there's something called Women in Rail. So we also need to make sure that these advocacy platforms, because SANWIT and Women in Rail is advocacy platforms, they need to be vocal. They shouldn't be taking prisoners in engaging us with regards to making sure that women are empowered. They should be able to point us to the right areas. Like, for example, we need to train women on skills to run the transport business. What is it that people like Menora Fakude can share with those who are coming up? You go into the taxi industry. That is one area that we also believe we need to facilitate transformation. The taxi industry employs more than 600,000 people directly as drivers, also more than 300,000 indirectly.
That's an enormous number of people.
It contributes more than 40 billion rand per annum to the economy. But these people are operators and drivers. they don't own the manufacturing of or have stakes in the manufacturing of the minibuses. They don't own retail fuel in areas. They don't own the tire, what do you call it, the tire manufacturing or repair. They don't own the motor vehicle repair places.
In essence,
the total value chain, they are just buyers of the vehicle. They are just drivers of the vehicle, because most instances, these drivers also don't own the vehicles.
And Minister, when we're talking about the idea of transformation, we're not talking from a race point of view, but we're talking from a gender perspective. I often think the way our traditional working world has been constructed, it tends to be around what I phrase as man hours, where in essence we're losing half of society's multitaskers, our women, because we're still continuing to think about these old cycles, old methods and modes of working, due to the traditional expectations of women having to manage both their family commitments as well as their contributions in the workforce. What's your perspective of this, and do you think that in the 21st century it's about time that we're able to restructure things to incorporate flexi time to make the working world accommodate women in a better fashion?
I think that is not negotiable. I'll make an example of one vulnerable sector in the transport sector, the truck drivers. They work 15 hours. Which woman would be away from her children, her family, for 15 hours? Which woman will not respond when you are called and you are driving a truck and you are told your child is sick at school and you can't respond immediately? So I agree with you. We need to restructure the working environment. We have already referred this particular example to the Ministry of Labor, to look at how do we deal within the framework of the basic conditions of employment on the areas that would make it possible for women to enter this particular sector. Equally so with train drivers. We need to be able to have flexi time. But we believe that if women are CEOs or HR managers or managers of different components in the transport sector, they would be able to be aware of these particular challenges that women are experiencing and be able to make sure that in their employment policies, they factor these particular issues in. I'll make an example. In my previous life as an MEC of health, we are faced with a situation where a woman was charged for using the vehicle of the department to go and take her child from a daycare center to the doctor, and then brought the car back at late afternoon. And when the case went on, and remember the member of the executive council is the appeal authority, I threw out the sanctions because I said, but hang on, how possible is it that if you are called as a mother and told your child is sick at school, do you have the time to go to work, to drop the car and get your own car? Or do you first thought go to your child, and once you are sure your child is okay, then you remember that this is not my car? And I said, any woman will tell you that type of experience.
Her child is her priority.
So these are the things that tells us that we need to restructure the working environment. But we also need to educate women on time management, as well as the management of their own personal environment, so that it doesn't become an issue that the demand for flexi time, the demand for understanding of the nurturing aspect of women, can then work against them. It should be, how does this woman plan her life in such a way that she built in a support system that will make it possible for her to perform in that particular environment? One time in a debate about women in the workplace, we actually said women must be adequately rewarded for the additional support that they need to create around them. The present Speaker of Parliament at one time said the challenge that we have as women is that we don't have wives.
That's a good expression.
The debates about why the industry, as well as even in the other industries, were male dominated was that men who used to be CEOs and chairpersons of those boards, they would go to work, everything is fine because the woman is at home seeing to it that everything is attended to, including supervising the domestic support. And men would have lunchtime, go back home, eat lunch, have rest times and all those, and then go back to work. Who does that to make sure that when you arrive at home, there is lunch? It was the wife who had to do that. When you get home in the evening, the children, homework has been done, and all those type of things. But when you, as a woman, don't create that environment, that's why women, when we get into these positions, we shouldn't forget that we've got families, we've got friends and others that we need to nurture and continue with those type of networks, because when need be, they can be able to respond to you. I'll make an example. One time, one of my friends came to tell me that, you know, you've got a forceful daughter. And I said, why do you say that? And I had a meeting, a political meeting on a Saturday, and my daughter was supposed to have a function at school. So I said to her, you'll just have to forego that because there wouldn't be transport for you to get to that point. She decided to accept. But when I had left already, she called one of my friends. And she said to her, what type of friend are you to my mother? And she says, I was surprised. Why is my friend's daughter saying that? And she said, her daughter can't go to a school function because she has got to go to a meeting. And you, her friend, can't take her daughter to a school function. Is that friendship? She says, I couldn't even respond. I just said, to me, I'm on my way. And it is that type of support that I'm talking about. Because if my children didn't know the type of friendship I had with this friend of mine, she wouldn't have called my friend to tell her that if you are my mother's friend, you'll see to it that her daughter is at this function. So when I came back, I was given this report. She says, I didn't want to trouble you. I just said, let me go and take her, and I'll go and fetch her, and then come and tell her mother at the end. And it's that type of thing, because she was saying, but my friend, why didn't you tell me that you're going to be in the meeting, and then your daughter will need transport? So I'm just giving the networks that we have, the support structure that we have, we need to enhance it and keep it intact.
And Minister, that also goes through, when you're talking about your daughter, it shows that she's learning through from you, understanding what these networks are, how they're created, and to use that to her benefit, to understand what the whole purpose is with women in networks.
Today we're talking to Minister Dipuo Peters, South Africa's first female appointed Minister of Transport.
Hi, this is Lyra, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amelia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to Minister Dipuo Peters, South Africa's first female appointed Minister of Transport. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk.
I want to go back to one of the points that you raised about needing to have more women in leadership within the business structure. And I think what I found particularly interesting was that women account for 44% of the South African workforce, but yet 80% of the female workforce occupies low-skilled positions. So it already shows that we don't have enough women at the top. But when we're talking about aspects of leadership, in particular, growing female leadership capacity, I believe, is important not only for the future of women, but also to the future of our country and our economy. We've got women's organizations that play a role in the development, whether it is the Progressive Women's Movement or industry bodies. You mentioned we've got South African women in transport. We've also got South African women in rail. And you yourself have headed up the Women's Department of South African Youth Congress. You were a women's organizer for the National Executive Council of the South African Youth Congress, and you joined the African National Congress Youth League as Secretary for Women Affairs. As a minister, and also as a women's human rights activist throughout your career, how do you see female leadership in South Africa? And how do you see us building these capabilities to mentor our future women leaders?
You know, mentioning my political history as a woman activist and my role in the Youth League and in SAICO as the Secretary for Women's Affairs, I actually feel right now that we have not done much. Up to this stage, we have not had a woman as a president of the ANC Youth League. The ANC is the leader politically in South Africa, even in government. The ANC has got many women, capable women, many of them coming from the youth structures. But we have not reached the stage where at the ANC Youth League we can have a woman.
And why is that?
I think that women, and to be honest, sometimes we are our own enemies. Because we tend to be part of the processes to debate and lobby and negotiate for leadership positions, and we would be the ones that actually even work very hard for the male counterparts to get into the positions. Because in all our structures, the majority are women, and the people who vote, even nationally in South Africa, are women. We have not reached that stage of sisterhood and bonding that men, I would believe, have. You know, men have got all the opportunities. They go to golf and play golf together, whilst I will be sitting and probably attending to other soft home issues. They are soft, but they are hard because they demand of my time.
And their requirements, life and your family couldn't get by without them.
Yes. So it's those type of things. The advocacy. But also the other thing that we have not done is the mentoring. You know, I'm one of those that can say I benefited from very strong women in the political structures of this country. The first woman to lead a political party and political structure during the heightened time of apartheid repression was Masisulu as one of the presidents. It was not first, second, and third. She was one of the three presidents of the United Democratic Front. We worked closely with her. She used to even treat us as her own children. She mentored us and gave us advice. She even used to give us an indication that as a woman in a political leadership position, you should not lose your womanhood. You should not lose being a lady and being able to dress up like a lady. You don't have to be a man. She used to say, you don't have to be a man, my child, to be a leader equal to the men. So I think that somewhere along the lines, we had good mentoring, but whether we sustained that is another challenge that we have to address. If you look at our own political structure, the African National Congress, we've always had women as deputy secretary generals. And we need to also acknowledge that for us to reach even the level of the president of the ANC, we should look at even those positions of the engine. Because the secretary general is the engine.
the positions like treasurer general. You know, it is those things that we omit. And I think that through the ANC Women's League, we should be able to start saying, hey, let's go back to the basics. Let us go and retrace our steps. Where did we go wrong? In 1954, it was the women who did the Women's Charter. And the ANC and the other Congress Alliance forces, 1955, came up with the Charter for Freedom, which is the Freedom Charter. It means women are always leading in terms of examples. 1994, we, as the women of South Africa, got together across all parties to draft what we call the Women's Charter for Effective Equality. What is it that we can be able to do? Because they say it is when we are united as women that we can actually realize the benefits of our strength. So we need to go back to the drawing boards and say, in every sector, how do we sit down? The Women's League must call me and say, Tipo, you are the Minister of Transport. Come and tell us, what is it that you are doing for women in transport? I must report, I must give indications, and they must be saying, hang on, you're going wrong there, you're going right here, and keep on. And this is what we are going to do from outside. I'll make an example. COSATU says to me, Minister, women in Mpumalanga, in Ekangala, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to catch a bus at 3:30 or 4 o'clock to get to Pretoria at 8 and spend the whole day working and arrive back home at 9 at night. When do these women have an opportunity to nurture and attend to their children? Because the transport system does not allow them to have family time.
That is a huge challenge.
That is a huge challenge. And that is why we are working very hard to make sure that we look at a means of transport that will have make it possible that these women in particular, these families, because it is not only women in this instance now, these families, men and women, have got more family time so that they don't have children who actually drop out of school, children who are lawless, who end up being in drugs and all those type of things because they don't have parental support. Because one thing that we need to realize is that the time you spend in transport is the time that you could have spent doing other productive work at home and even in the economy. So it's those things that we are looking at. It takes us also to the issue of flexi time, to say how do we make it possible that together with other sectors, is it DATI or the Department of Trade and Industry and Department of Economic Development, we also speak about economic development in this corridor so that those women and men should not wake up so early to get to come to so far to get to work. So it is a comprehensive integrated plan that we're working on. And that is why we're doing a feasibility study of a rail service to this Moloto corridor into Ekangala, beyond Ekangala to Siyabuswa, and ultimately into Limpopo, and be able to also reduce the number of people who die on the roads because of the fact that people are tired when they are in this in transport. In fact, studies have shown that many of the people who die in these crashes die when they are actually half asleep. You get into these buses early hours of the morning, people are covering themselves because they just want to grab that extra hour of nap so that they can end up being productive at work. We have even done a video with a woman in our own Department of Transport who lives in that area to show the challenge where she literally have to leave her children unattended in the morning, the security issue. But also it brings us this woman who walks from home to the bus in the morning, her safety and security. So it is a complete review and reform of the transport services that we are providing so as to make sure that it can be safer for women to get to their places
and
of work.
And it needs an entire consultative approach, looking at every single dynamic and not just focusing on a means of transportation, but looking at the security issues, looking at the social issues. What's happening to those children? Are they going to school? Are they being fed? Are they safe when the mother leaves them? So there's enormous issues.
And that is why the feasibility study that we're doing for this rail development is not just focusing on the rail development and the cost, but we're saying the cost is also covering other factors like security, other factors like the social environment and the consequences thereof.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kilohertz, and we have been talking to South Africa's first female Minister of Transport, Dipuo Peters. Tune in next week to hear the second part of our conversation with Minister Dipuo Peters discussing gender transformation in the transport industry.